Melachim Aleph Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Dalet, continuing the magnificence, the incredible wealth of Shlomo HaMelech, especially in the particular year that the Malka Sheva came to call. According to Rashi's Pshat in this Pasuk, this is talking about that specific year, the previous Psukim here in Perek Yud. Vayihi Mishkal HaZahav Asher Bo L'Shlomo B'Shano Echos, and it was the weight of all of the gold that came to Shlomo in 1 year. And Rashi says in this particular year, wasn't an annual basis. Other Mefarshim say this is every year was like this. Shesh Meyo Shishim Bo Shesh Kikar Zahav. 666 talents of gold. And again, a Kikar Zahav was more than just a Krugerrand or a small gold bar like you would see in Fort Knox. This was an enormous loaf of gold from the word Kikar. So it was a big, thick chunk of gold. And there were 666 of them. And Rashi does the math. 120 came from Hiram, we saw earlier. The Malka Sheva brought another 120. That's 240. And the ships of Tarshish that came from Ophir brought another 420 for a grand total of 660. Harei Shesh Meos V'Shishim, says Rashi. V'Ashisha Lo Yodati Me'ayin. And I don't know where the other six come from. You know, the extra, the spare, the quantity that's too little to even notice, which is a riot, because six kikar zahav would be a country's GNP back in the day. But for Shlomo, it's pocket change. It's the excess on top of the 660. All of that came in the 1 year. And the Malbim says that the tachlis sipurim ho'ela, the point of all of this, is to point out Eich niskayim bo havtochas Hashem, how the promise of Hashem was realized, was fulfilled. Shlomo had been given the choice to ask for osher, to ask for kavod, to ask for military might, but instead he asked for chachma. And Hashem said, because you asked for the right thing, I'm going to give you all of it. Well, here's the osher. All of this wealth and influence coming to Shlomo, who had only asked for chachma, but the chachma triggered reaction in everyone around Shlomo and his country to want to be part of the success of Eretz Yisrael. Now, of course, on a cynical level, that's to make themselves rich. But on a positive level, Shlomo had so impressed them that there was so much to offer. The Medrash says that there were thousands upon thousands of converts, or at least attempted converts to Judaism, during the time of David and especially Shlomo, because we were the happening people. We were the peak of the civilized world. So much gold. But of course, as Rabbi Israel points out, there's a negative side to this as well, and that is the shifted priorities and principles of a nation that was now all about gold and commerce, and maybe less about the Ratzon Hashem, more about the palaces, less about the Beis HaMikdash. Tesvav levad me'anshei hatorim, and that does not even include the additional wealth that came in from the traveling merchants. Lasur es ha'aretz, the Meraglim language goes back in Parsha Shlach, to travel around. So those are the traveling merchants who come in caravans. Umischar ha'rochlim, and the business and sales activity of the rochlim, the shopkeepers, the peddlers. Loselech rochil be'amecha, you're not supposed to spread Lashon Hara like a traveling peddler, walking around with Lashon Hara coming off your back as you hand it around to everybody. That's the same word, rochlim here, who travel and bring business and keep shops. B'chol malchei ha'erev ufachos ha'aretz. And additionally, all of the kings of the Erev. And the Targum translates Erev as referring to the surrounding area, sumchusa, to that which was samuch to Eretz Yisrael. So all of the local kings in the Middle East were completely subservient and aligning their economic interests with the Jewish people. And the pachos ha'aretz, like in Megillas Esther, b'chol ha'pachos hu'achashdar penim ha'pachos, all of the satraps, all of the governors of the land were all doing business with the Jews. We dominated the economy. For once, the rumors were true. And what did he do with all of this insane quantity of gold that was coming in? Tezayin bayas hamelech Shlomo, mosayim tzina zahav shachut. So Shlomo HaMelech made from all of this gold 200 shields of beaten gold. So, beaten gold that was easy to work with. Soft gold. It's soft enough to be pliable, Rashi says. Now, shields are generally made of iron. Gold is far too expensive to make a shield out of. But with so much money, the gold shields were being made. Now, what were these shields for? A gold shield, if you whack it with your sword, is just going to fold over and bend. So some say it was incredibly thick gold, which meant it would have been tremendously heavy to carry into battle. Many Mefarshim say that they were decorative. So we're using gold to make shields that we're going to put up in the hunting lodge that are so pretty. But they're not really for any practical use. We have so much gold, we can use it on frivolities. When the time comes and the Jewish people collapse, and our independence and our strength falls to pieces, the first things that are going to be taken by the enemy are going to be these gold shields. Sheish meyos zahav yale alatzino ho'echos. Each one of these shields was made out of 600 measures of gold, which on the one hand is tremendously impressive. On the other hand, sounds like a tremendous waste if you think about what all of that could have done. And this measures of gold is really more than the average person would see in a lifetime. And then Yud Zayin, Ushalosh Meos Maginim Zahav Shachut. Another 300 bucklers, smaller shields, regular shields. If the Tzina is a very large shield that covers, Rashi says, Makefes Es HaAdam Mishsalosh Ruchosav, it's a kind of three-sided shield to protect him on all sides. This is a regular shield like you would see in a movie about the Romans or something. Just a shield on the front, like Magen Avraham, Shield of Avraham. Also of soft gold. Shloshes manim zahav, yale al hamagen hoechos. And three measures of gold went to each Magen. So 200 of these three-sided enormous shields and 300 of these regular-sized shields. And lacking any practical, serviceable purpose, so the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon that we mentioned before when we were doing the architecture. He hung all of these golden shields from his summer house, from his estate. So people didn't even look at them all the time, just when they happened to be there. This is an awesome, ostentatious display of wealth in Shlomo's palace. And again, I hate to keep harping on it. Rabbi Israel's points are well taken. This does not sound like the same Shlomo we met in Parakim Beis and Gimel, who was having visions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, the last vision he had from Hashem was a warning. Don't fall off the edge. What is a king not supposed to have? Lo yarbe lo susim. Lo yarbe lo nashim, lo yarbe lo kesef. He's not supposed to have too much money. Shlomo's got more money, he's bathing in it, than any king in the world. And ultimately, this isn't going to serve him or us well, but at the moment, unbelievable wealth.